This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College.
Houston Community College. Start here. Go anywhere.
Live from the 1560 studios, high atop the Gow building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. The soccer talk continuing here in Houston, supported by you, the soccer fan, and of course, our good friends over at Budweiser. We stream at YSR1560.com, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets for the Dynamo and Dash, plus follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and over on Facebook, Soccer Matters, for all information on our radio shows. Don't forget, Kick Cancer is coming up, Dynamo players, Dash players, and the great youth clubs of Houston, including the Albion Hurricanes, Cy-Fair Dynamos, Challenge Soccer Club, and Eclipse, San Antonio Scorpions, and Texas Rush, all taking part. Sign up at cccfund.org. It is very important because we are trying to shine the light on pediatric cancer. We need you to be a part of it. Again, sign up at cccfund.org. Now, we lead tonight with the Dynamo agreeing to contracts with Tyler Derrick, Giles Barnes, and also Will Bruhn. Let's start it off tonight in big fashion. We caught up with Will Bruhn earlier. Well, Will, let's just talk about, first of all, the new contract coming off last year, another solid year for you, and what it means to you personally at 26 years of age here, heading into your sixth season in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, first of all, time's flown by. I think I'm going into my 6 years crazy. But, you know, last year was a little bit of a roller coaster year, but I think as a player, I think I saw the most development in 1 year, which was last year under Owen. And, you know, after talking with him, he still thinks there's more to come, and so do I. And, I mean, I'm very thankful that the team has decided to reward me with a new contract and shown their continued faith in me going forward.
Yeah, no, this was an interesting year for you because you got even benched in the beginning of the year. There were no givens here. It's a new manager. You got to reprove yourself.
Exactly.
I just thought this was an incredible season from you on a lot of different fronts.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever there's new, everybody sees the game different, and new coaches bring different aspects of the game. And, you know, starting game one, beating Columbus, who's now in the MLS Cup, and then going to the bench was definitely difficult. But instead of sitting there and pouting about it, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to show him that deserving of that starting spot. I mean, and it took a few weeks, but I earned it back, and I think I improved my game during that time and kind of took the minutes I got, didn't take them for granted as much.
He's Dynamo striker Will Bruhn. By the way, 46 goals for Will Bruhn, most in Major League Soccer for a player 26 years of age and under in five seasons. Quite remarkable. When you go through this, and you're in your career and you look over the body of work you put together over 5 years, you know, sometimes when you're in it, it's hard to assess yourself. Maybe this coaching change came at a good time for you as an individual player.
Yeah, for sure. Cause, I mean, sometimes if you stay with the same thing and the same eyes watching you, maybe you get caught in kind of a little going through the motion sort of thing. So I think having Owen in here and the whole staff see the game differently and tell me things I need to work on or things that I'm doing well, it makes you, as the player, it makes yourself look at the game differently and kind of look at yourself and your performance differently. And I think that's something that's helped me out a lot.
Owen Coyle scored a lot of goals as a player himself. Feel there's a little bit of a sort of a kinship there and sort of a mentoring going on here with a guy that's played in a lot of different leagues and scored a lot of goals and a real benefit to you maybe?
Yeah, for sure. He knows what he's talking about. He was a poacher. He scored a lot of goals. So whenever he tells me what I need to do, what I can do better, what I'm doing well, you definitely take it on board because he knows what he's talking about. And he appreciates sometimes some of the work the forwards do as the first line of defense, stuff that goes unnoticed. He knows it and he appreciates that. And that's something that it's good to have a manager that was a forward too, because he knows the whole position all the way around.
I saw another element to you as a person coming out. I saw a real, almost a healthy anger, I would almost call it. I saw more competitiveness oozing out of the veins and the pores of Will Bruhn last night. I mean, it was evident. And it was not in a contrived way. It was just evident that it seemed like losses hurt you more, missing chances hurt you more. There was just something very visible there, Will.
Yeah. The last 2 years have been tough, not being in the playoffs, like watching the games at home now. It sucks. I'm a very competitive person. I hate losing, and I think that's something that needs to rub off around the team. And if you have a team full of guys that are really pissed off when you lose, even if it's at drills out in practice or something, it's going to translate into the game. And, I mean, I was going to try to lead more that way, but, you know, I just don't like to lose in general, whether it's shooting hoops outside or playing in the game. So that's just how I am.
Will, you got a lot going on in your life here. It's a good time. Yeah. New contract. You're going to be getting married. Tell us a little bit about your wife. You had mentioned she was a volleyball player at Indiana. That's where you guys met. Both of you are athletes. So I would imagine your future wife, you know, kind of is a sounding board for you after games, obviously, because she was an athlete at a high level as well.
Oh, for sure. When we started dating in our sophomore year at IU, she's never been to a soccer game, so I think that helps me to this day. I can come home. She's not going to tell me, oh, you need to do this better, you need to do that better. She knows the game a lot more than she did, but I can kind of come home and kind of – she knows how I'm feeling just on my mannerisms if we lost or if we won, because she was an athlete as well, and she was probably even more fiery than I am. So sometimes she knows when to stay away from me. Sometimes she knows when to talk to me about it, and if my head ever gets too big, she knows when to just pop it and say – come back down to reality.
So, by the way, we need to put a name to your future wife.
Caitlin.
And yep. It'll be Caitlin Bruhn, and you're going to be married, I believe, on the 12th in Indiana. Yep. This is a wonderful time period for you in life.
It is. Very exciting time.
All right. So, also exciting. When you see the purpose of play and you hear Owen Coyle quoted and talking about the fact that he wants more slashing wingers and penetrators and a quicker wide game, that's got to be music to your ears, because if there's penetration in a quicker wide game, that means a center back or two might be pulling out of the middle and leaving you maybe isolated one-on-one instead of having to contend with two center backs.
Exactly. You hit it right on the head there. That's music to my ears. I would love to have speed out on the wing, because then the center backs get pulled out, like you said, and I'll take myself one-on-one in the box against anybody. Because when you're in the box, 1v1 wide guys creating space that wide, it's just that desire to score the goal. Who wants it more in the box? And I always think I like to pride myself on that, but like you said, speed out wide, speed kills, and that's just how it is in the game. When you look at Fabian Castillo in Dallas, you know, you just have to push it by a defender and run, because, you know, you can't keep up with him. That's just, it's such a good weapon to have.
Will Bruhn joining us here. New contract with the Houston Dynamo. Going to get married here in the month of December. Busy off season for him. You know, when you went back in to talk to the Dynamo here, and obviously statistically you've scored a lot of goals, you're coming off a very growth-oriented season. Even you admitted that. Owen Coyle very happy with things that you're doing. But he also made it clear to me that he said there's still a lot of room for Will Bruhn to stretch his game.
Exactly. We talked about that at the end of the year when we were talking about what the future was going to hold and stuff. He was like, I think you've grown through the course of the year tremendously, but I still think there's more. And that's what I love to hear, because I think there's more as well. And, you know, I'm more of one of those later bloomers, you could say. I'm not one of those guys that came up through the academy, been playing soccer my whole life, know the game inside out. I like to think I'm learning as I go each year. You can always learn more and more, and you can always improve your game. And I think that's something I've been doing. We've been focusing on different facets of the game. And then once I can get all those facets combined into one and implement it all in one game, I think that would be great. And I'm just excited to work with Owen for a few more years.
Yeah, and the flip side of this, it's a tough time, right? Because teammates are going to be going.
Yeah.
Some contracts are declined. This is the nature of the business. It's
exactly.
A tough business. It's a business based on performance and, of course, putting a team together under a salary cap. So the flip side of it is it may be tough to see some guys go.
Yeah, you make relationships with these guys throughout the year. They become your friends even when they go. So it's always sad when you see guys have to leave. But at the same time, you know, that's just how it is sometimes, and that's how the business is. Unfortunately, that's how it is. But you know, it's always a tough time when you see your teammates that you've played with for a while just have to leave.
Will, last question. Have you followed the story of Jamie Vardy of Leicester, who has scored in 11 straight Premier League games? And
yeah, it's crazy.
Do you know the history on him that 5 years ago he was playing in the fifth tier of English soccer?
Yeah, he's just worked his way up every tier, right? I like to think I'm kind of similar to him.
Yeah, I mean, amazing story, though. It's a guy who could have walked away from the game.
That is crazy. I mean, that just shows you his determination and his desire to always compete and beat who he's playing against. It doesn't matter what they've done. It matters how he has controlled himself and his mentality is, hey, look, I'm going to beat you. This could be fifth tier, but then I beat you here. I'll get to fourth tier and make your way up. Now look at him. He's killing it in the Premier League. It's crazy.
Well, Will, listen, thank you very much. First off, congratulations again on the new contract.
Thank you.
Pre-congratulations on your upcoming nuptials and getting married. Congratulations to you.
Looking forward to going on the honeymoon.
Yeah, I've met your future wife. She's a lovely woman. So all things rolling good for you, and keep it up, and we look forward to seeing you back on the field here in the upcoming season.
Yep, sounds good, Glenn. Hopefully we'll have more goal interviews.
Yeah, we will. We'll do that for sure. We'll make that a New Year's resolution.
There we go.
All right, that's Will Bruun, Dynamo Striker, new contract signed. We will take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. A lot more to go here tonight. We started it off in good fashion there with Will Bruun. We'll take a break. It's a 7-Up break.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. The first ever president of the Houston Dynamo, the general manager of the Dynamo, and he was the face of the Dynamo out front in helping the transition with the San Jose Earthquakes to the Houston Dynamo. And, of course, we know history, a couple of MLS Cups. He is Oliver Luck. He joins us now. Oliver, how are you?
Glenn, I'm doing great. It's awesome to be in the show. It's been a while, but it's nice to be back in the show.
Always great to have you back. Okay, since you left the Dynamo, WVU, you were the athletic director. You're now at the NCAA, involved with regulatory functions. Explain to my listeners what that means.
So there are four divisions at the NCAA. The division that I don't oversee is called championships. That's self-explanatory, right? Puts on all the NCAA championships, including the Final Four and the Men's College Cup, Women's College Cup. I oversee the other three divisions. They're all regulatory divisions, so that's enforcement. I'm the top cop at the NCAA, which is hard to imagine. There's the EC, the Eligibility Center, which we certify all incoming student athletes from a academic and amateurism perspective. And then there's another group called AMA, which is Academic and Membership Affairs. So it's really all the groups that deal with all the bylaws, all the regulations, you know, that you have to you know operate under if you're an NCAA institution, whether it's Division I, II, or III. So I'm a regulator. That's, I guess, what I am at the end of the day.
And you're on the road quite a bit, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, we try to get out to a lot of institutions, a lot of schools. We have a lot of constituents. Just in Division I, Glenn, there's 351 schools. And that's everybody from the big, you know, the big schools like, you know, University of Texas or Ohio State, you know, all the way down to smaller Division I schools, the New Jersey Institute of Technology, your
yes.
home state, right?
So NJIT.
We try to get around to, you know, as many campuses as we can. It's important for us to know what's going on campus, you know, as we make policy and implement policy at a national level.
Now, I know you've followed Major League Soccer, and we're going to take you back to Houston here in a little bit about some things that are going on here, but I think it's really healthy that the Columbus Crew and Portland have gotten into the final. I think it's made it very interesting. You had the New York Red Bulls and FC Dallas with the youth movement and two teams with lower budgets in the league. I thought it's been a fascinating year for MLS.
You know, I'm still a big MLS fan. I was able to watch this weekend, you know, the second leg of the semis. I think the league has really gotten better. Right. I mean, I first became an intense NFL fan, obviously, or MLS fan with, you know, with the beginning of the Dynamo in 2006. And even from that time point, right, that's basically 10 years later, you know, it's remarkable how the quality of play has increased. Certainly, you know, a lot of these new venues around the country have helped propel, you know, an increased fan interest. It's really on a nice trajectory. Has it arrived? Probably not yet. But gosh, it's you know, going certainly in the right direction. I think the leadership under Garber is solid. You know, new TV deal. You know, it's in a really good spot, and so I continue to follow it, watch it, you know, as often as I can. I've become a little bit of a college soccer fan as well, as you can imagine, for both the men and the women, which is pretty cool. But the MLS has done a very nice job, and I, you know, at the end of the day, as one would expect, you know, I look for the Dynamo results as often as I can.
Have you been excited about all the international soccer that's making its way through here with the Copa Centenario? Obviously, as the guy who helped secure public financing for the stadium here and went through that whole political, advent to get the stadium in here in Houston with AEG, I have to think somewhere you're smiling when you hear that Lionel Messi in Argentina has played at BBVA Compass Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's like anything else. If you plan on, you know, doing some big things, right, and, of course, you know, bringing the MLS to Houston was a big thing. Getting the stadium approved and built and opened up was a big thing. So, you know, you almost expect that doing those big things is going to have, you know, positive results. So, you know, seeing Messi play, obviously, at the Dynamo Stadium was awesome. You know, Copa America, of course, being in the U.S. I was down in Chile last year with the family when the tournament was taking place in Chile. Right? We were in Santiago. My second daughter was doing a semester abroad down there, and we went down there and were able to watch, you know, some of the games. So it's just great to see the sport every year take another step in terms of being mainstream, right? That's really what it's all about. And that's I think, gratifying for anybody, you know, who's worked for the great sport, you know, anybody who's worked for soccer, who's been involved. So, I, you know, like anybody else, I'm just happy to see every year another step taken in terms of becoming more and more mainstream.
He's Oliver Luck, the first president, GM of the Houston Dynamo, now with the NCAA after time at West Virginia University as an athletic director, where he was a star quarterback for the Mountaineers. All right, you and I were talking before we got on the air here a little bit about the College Cups. Obviously, I'm going down to call the women's in Cary, and then the following weekend at Sporting Park is the men's. You were going to be at both of these events. But, you know, we got into an interesting discussion of comparing the NCAA College Cups and a potential permanent home for the College Cups, much like in college baseball, where Omaha you know, just draws these huge crowds for the College World Series. And, you know, this wonderful thing called perception comes into play.
Yeah, you know, it really is an interesting discussion. And we've actually talked about it at the national headquarters in Indianapolis. You know, in terms. So, you know, the College Baseball World Series has been in Omaha for a number of years. The city absolutely has wrapped its arms around that event. People plan for it, even if their school is not in the World Series. They plan to go up there, father, son, you name it, right? Whole families. It's become a big event. Stadium sold out, 25,000 people. You know, as you probably know, because I'm sure you've seen at least bits of games over the years. It looks awesome. Sold out.
It's amazing.
Great crowds. So, you know, the question is, are there other championship events that the NCAA puts on? And let's talk about, you know, the Women's College Cup and the Men's College Cup. Other championships that would benefit from a long-term home, right? A home for 10 or 15 or 20 years. As you know, the tournament moves around. The women, for example, this year are in Cary, North Carolina. Last year, the men were there. The men are going to be down. Or the women are going to be down in Houston. Or is it the men? I always get it confused.
Men will be in Houston in 2016.
Okay, so Houston's on the move. The men this year are going to be up at Sporting KC. So it's an interesting discussion. And what's so good, you know, when you're a fan, if you turn on the College World Series baseball, you see a sold-out stadium and you think, wow, you know, college baseball has arrived. So perception often becomes reality, and I think that's certainly something that would benefit the college soccer game. College soccer has gotten a lot better, both on the men's and the women's side. And, you know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't have that sort of signature event where people say, wow, it's really arrived. You know, even lacrosse. Right? Even lacrosse is – the NCAA lacrosse championship sometimes will draw 45,000, 50,000 to, you know, the Ravens Stadium in Baltimore, yeah, or some of the markets, you know, in the Mid-Atlantic area that really support lacrosse. So that's something we've talked about, and we wouldn't do that for a number of years because we have some existing contracts in place. But I often ask myself if men's and women's soccer wouldn't benefit from, let's say, a 10-year commitment to a market where you know you're going to put 25, 30,000 people, because that really helps the perception. And the more you can do, the better off the sport's going to be.
Well, Oliver, when I look at the Men's College Cup here next year and a city and a surrounding area here, and let's just talk about the Houston and the surrounding area, which has supplied so many talented soccer players to universities and programs, both on the male and female side. We've had Herman Award winners like Chris Bondi, Johnny Torres. Littered around the country are Houston area Texas soccer players that have gone off to contribute to other programs. So when the NCAA Men's College Cup is here next year, I think there is a little bit of a pressure on us here to make sure that this is an event that gets 10 to 15,000 people. And it really has a big event feel coming to a big soccer city called Houston, Texas.
Well, you're absolutely right. Houston's been a great market for talent, certainly. We don't have enough D1 program, men's programs in the state of Texas. But, I would say, let's challenge the Dynamo. Let's challenge the NCAA, my organization, to sell out the stadium, right? There's no reason you shouldn't be able to get 20,000 folks in there on the Friday with the doubleheader. That's great soccer. And then on Sunday with the final. So, I would say let's raise the bar, sell the stadium out. I would think, every Dynamo fan would have an interest in watching the best men's college players. A lot of those folks are going to be in MLS, in the not too distant future. So, I think the men's game in particular, and the women's game as well, but the men's game in particular, certainly warrants an enormous crowd. And that's just another indication of how far Houston has come as a soccer community.
Well, before I let you go, I'd be remiss not to ask you about how your son Andrew Luck, the quarterback in the NFL and someone that we've all come to know here in Houston, how he's doing right now after the injury.
Yeah, he's doing okay. His last game was against the Broncos, a big Sunday night game here in Indianapolis, and they knocked off the Broncos, who were unbeaten at that point, but in the beginning of the fourth quarter, suffered a lacerated kidney.
Ouch. Yeah.
And so he's out for a while. He's recovering. A kidney doesn't have any nerve endings, right? So you really don't know if you're hurt or not. The only way you know if you're hurt is if you see blood in your urine. So, next morning, that's exactly what he saw. Did an MRI. The only way he really knows if his kidney is healing properly is with an MRI every 3-4 days. But he's doing okay. He's recovering. He's nowhere near being in football shape to play because that's obviously a very serious thing. And like any other athlete, it's killing him not to be out there to play. But that's part of life in the NFL. You get beat up. It's a physical game, and he's smart enough to know that he needs to recover and get his kidney healed. If that takes the remainder of the season, so be it.
Yeah, very serious injury, but pass on our wishes and pass on my wishes, Oliver. It's always great. I'll never forget the time you guys crashed the booth in Columbus that night. I was so surprised to see both of you.
He's an enormous MLS fan. When we get together, and we do that relatively often because we're both living in Indianapolis, I would say that of the sports talk that we make, 90% involves soccer. And of that 90%, usually about 50% involves the Dynamo.
And some Bundesliga, I know for sure, with all your German connection.
He likes the Bundesliga. He's been to a number of games over there.
Yeah. Oliver, always great having you on. Great to hear your voice again. I can tell you that Houston Dynamo fans certainly miss you here in Houston, Texas, among others. So thank you, as always, for coming on the program and being so candid. And we look forward to your next visit. And I'll look for you down in Cary, North Carolina. Let's get together down there this weekend for the Women's College Cup.
Absolutely. Thanks, Glenn.
All right, Oliver. Thank you very much. We'll take a break here. 7-Up break as we continue on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. The soccer talk continuing here. The Dynamo out in front of it today. And, of course, joining us from overseas. He's in England right now. He is Owen Coyle, the Dynamo manager. Owen, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the show. And how's everything over there across the pond?
Yeah, it's a pleasure, as always, Glenn. And yeah, it's all good. Keeping busy. Out at plenty of matches taken in. So, yeah, it's been good. I came home just towards last weekend and managed to get to Celtic and Ajax in the Europa League on the Thursday. Friday, I was at Hull City versus Derby in the Championship. And on Saturday, Blackburn Rovers against Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship. So, yeah, it's all good, taking plenty of games in, looking at lots of players as you do. And, yeah, still keeping busy, Glenn.
And I know this is not a vacation. This is a working trip over to England. But, you know, when you come from Houston now, spending a significant year here and a lot of your time here with your family, and you get off the plane in England, what does it feel like to you?
Well, it feels cold to begin with, I'm going to tell you. obviously, it's a totally different climate. But I think it's like anything else. You know, it's always nice to see people that you've not seen for a long time. And, you know, it allows you also, as much as you're taking games in and doing different stuff, it also allows you, which is very important in our game, Glenn, as you know, to recharge the batteries, get that freshness and you know, re-energise, getting ready for a very exciting season in 2016 for the Dynamo. So it's all those factors come into play. Gives me an opportunity as well to get to, although I obviously still get a house in England, it gives me an opportunity to get to Scotland up to see my mum, who's obviously 85 now, my brothers and sisters. I've got five brothers and three sisters, and they're all in Glasgow. So it's always good to get to see them. The fascinating thing, which people will not realise, Glenn, in Houston and in Texas, because Texas alone is nearly three times the size of the whole of Britain. So, I mean, where I am in England, I could drive from England to Scotland to see my mum in a little over 2 hours. You know, so yeah. The country in the USA and the States, and, you know, it's a fast country. But obviously, it's a lot on a smaller scale back home in the United Kingdom.
He's the manager of the Houston Dynamo. He's Owen Coyle, and the Dynamo are very busy here. So let's get right to new contracts for Will Bruun, Tyler Derrick, Giles Barnes. This is very important here for the remake, isn't it?
Very much so. And those, you know, you've mentioned those three players there, and there'll be another couple coming in the back of that, I would certainly hope. But those three are young. For me, they're very talented. And I think all three of them can continue to get better. You know, and the great thing for me when I spoke to them, they were all desperate to improve individually and collectively for the team, Glenn. And, you know, Tyler Derrick has the potential to be one of the top goalkeepers, if not the top goalkeeper in the league, as far as I'm concerned. Will Bruun's goals record speaks for itself, and I think he's very much improved his all-round game. And Giles Barnes, if we have Giles fit, fresh and healthy, Giles Barnes can be one of the top players. He really can in the whole of the MLS. So they were very crucial three important signings. Obviously, Tyler at the, you know, in the goal, everything right through the middle, obviously, Will and Giles. Giles can play behind, he can play wide, he can play up top. So, I mean, very important, all three players for us progressing with the Dynamo.
Let's start with Tyler in goal. I mean, it must feel good for you as a manager to know that he now has banked a year of experience in goal and has been able to go through that. So yeah, I guess the sky's the limit here in year two for Tyler Derrick.
Well, I believe it is. I've got to say as well, I mean, we're very fortunate because we have a tremendous goalkeeper that's pushed him all the way in, Big Joe Willis, and he's played well every game he's been asked. So, and Tyler's recognised that. So the great thing with both of them working very closely with Paul Rodgers, it's really taking their game to another level. And the great thing for me, Glenn, when I sat with Tyler, was Tyler recognised that he's got a staff that believe in him, a staff that trust in him, and he certainly feels that he can continue to improve. And he's a very humble young man, and that's why, you know, when we sat down, we felt straight away, you know, we can get this done, we can get him committed to the Dynamo moving forward. And it's very important because, you know, I think he had a decent season this year, but I think there's more to come from him. You know, that level of consistency, bringing that week in, week out, it comes to a maturity, comes with knowing that, you know, he has that staff that back him to the hilt. Because within the season, there was games that he made mistakes. He recognises that, but he knew that we always had his back. We were prepared to, particularly, you know, Glenn, if a goalkeeper makes a mistake, invariably it results in a goal. And as I've always felt as a head coach, a manager, the goalkeepers know, they have to know that as a staff, you have confidence and belief in them. Otherwise, you know, the confidence is fragmented because they feel, oh, if I make a mistake, I'm out of the team. So we showed that level of confidence, that belief in them, and I think they really responded to that.
I think the way, from the outside looking in, the way you've handled Will Bruin last year was outstanding. I mean, I don't think you – nothing was handed to him. I think he has grown both as a soccer player, but maturity-wise now, he begins to look more like a leader to me.
Well, I agree with you on that, and that was refreshing. When we sat down, and I said to Will, I'm telling you now, I'm obviously looking to for you, obviously, to commit to the club and sign a new contract. But it's on the premise, Will, that I believe that you can get better. And you know, Will said those seasons between 10 and 15 goals. Well, you know what, Glenn? I said to Will, now Will's the time to start being between 15 and 20 and pushing yourself on. Now, of course, to do that, there's a couple of components, a couple of positions that I need to get to furnish Will with more opportunities in different ways. And we'll look to do that. I'm making inroads into that as well. So, and, you know, the great thing for me is when Will is chatting there and he said, you know what, Gaffer, it's absolutely brilliant. It's what I want to be part of. I recognise everything's coming together. And that was a great message, Glenn. They all felt, you know, we know it's a work in progress, but they all felt going into next year, we have a real chance to win. And that's what I've been building at the club. That's what I've been looking to implement. And now, of course, we have to do it within our own financial structure. But the great thing for me is all those lads were committed to it. And Will Bruin, you're right, his all-round game's improved. Not only can he score goals, but he can play a huge part for the team, both with the ball and against the ball. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to be crucial for us moving forward. Those type of players and those ones, as you say, that want to show leadership qualities. And Will's now been, you know, I said that to him, he's been about enough now that he can take that responsibility and he can be a leader both on and off the park. But it's important that we have that tight net dressing room. And players that are at the club are there for the right reasons. Like, they're there because they're committed and their heart's in Houston Dynamo and they want to give the best. That's the type of players I want.
He's Owen Coyle, the Dynamo manager, calling. We've got him on the line from overseas in England. And back to your point of how you're remaking this team in a wide game that will include a little bit more pace and penetration, that can only bode well for Will Bruin in the future, can it?
Well, you and I talk extensively, Glenn, so you know the way I want to go about that. I mean, I've mentioned it to people, and I don't. You ask me a question, I'll also always answer you honestly, and I want to add speed in the wide area to the team. That's something I want to add. You only have to look at the playoff games as they go on, and most of the teams have that blistering speed on the counter attack, and that's stood them in good stead. So we, I think, at times last year played very well, but it probably took us an extra pass, Glenn, to get into the danger area. Where if we have that blistering pace with quality, obviously, then we can get people quicker, and with doing that, it results in more goal scoring chances and entertainment, and that's what I want to do. I want to give a winning product for the Houston Dynamo fans, who have been fantastic, but equally I want them to be coming along to the games excited that they're coming to watch a team that's pleasing on the eye. And we did that, as I say, for that, and I'm not being repetitive, so forgive me if I am, but the last 10 games at home, when we scored 21 goals for in those 10 games and won 7 wins and 2 draws and 1 defeat. But what we've got to do is not do that over 10 games, Glenn. This has got to be consistent both home and on the road. And when we do that, then, of course, that just catapults you right into being a playoff team with a chance to win the ultimate prize. And that's what we want to do. And I look at the playoff games and Columbus, who, you know, a very good side, who we beat on the opening day. Portland Timbers, who we beat 3-1 at home and dismantled them that night. We drew 2-2 as well. You know, we played them twice away from home, as you know, but we drew 2-2 the other game at Portland as well. So we've shown from game to game that what we've got to do is do it consistently. I mean, New York Red Bulls, we came from behind to beat them 4-2 at home. When we played them once, we played Columbus Crew once, and a great record against those playoff teams. Mm-hmm. So we know it's there for us, and I know if I get the bits of the jigsaw that I want moving forward, then we're a far improved team from last year. And for me, that's really exciting, the level we could get to.
Owen, when you get back to the word you just used, pleasing to the eye, and I guess we could translate that here to entertainment and the style and purpose of play that you implement, I get the sense that you understand that that's more important in this country right now in a league that's very young, because that is how people identify with teams, don't they?
Well, I think there's merit in that, Glenn. I think you're right. I think, and within that, I mean, we want to, as I say, that have that identity. You know, that we have a certain way of playing, and to do that, I mean, it takes, as we know, it takes players to do that. But I know the pieces I need, Glenn. And I mean, every one of us were working our socks off. Chris Kinnett, the president, Matt Jordan, the general manager, Nick Kober, myself, my staff, to get the right pieces, obviously, at the right within our financial structure. So we know exactly where we want. I mean, I can't give you names at the moment, but I can tell you we're actively pursuing a couple of targets as we speak. So, as I said before, it wouldn't be through lack of effort. We're leaving no stone unturned right, to try and bring the right players into the criteria that we're looking for and the jigsaw pieces that will build this team and grow this team.
So that was part one with Owen Coyle yesterday. Part two is coming up after this break on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. You can get your Dynamo N-Dash season tickets there. They would be perfect as Christmas gifts or stocking stuffers. The Dynamo remake continuing under Owen Coyle. And Bud Light reminds you, be a part of it. Get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Be in that beautiful stadium. And take in the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. Our thanks, as always, to Bud Light for their support of soccer on the radio. Now, here is part two with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. The last of the players that just got signed, re-upped on their contracts, Giles Barnes. There was Giles pre-Copa America and Gold Cup. How do you get the full season out of Giles Barnes next year? Because obviously the Dynamo becomes a different team without his performance.
Yeah, well, I think he'll be much better for it for two reasons. One, I don't think there won't be the two demands of Copa America and Gold Cup. And for two, I think it was the first season that Giles had to deal with that. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not a player that did this for 6 or 7 years. That was his first time of being a bona fide international. So it was probably a lot to ask him, you know, the first time round. And we've had a good chat with him as well. He knows, and I've certainly, you know, great dialogue with him. He knows the opinion I have of him. And I know, you know, that we can have him fresh. I mean, as you say, pre-Copa America, himself, Giovinco, Castillo, maybe Kakutamani, they were in the top four or five players, Robbie Keane, probably the top four or five players in the league, and he can be again, but consistently over the season. So that's us to make sure that Giles stays fresh, and when he's lively and the pace and power he has, it's going to take him to another level.
Now, outside of those criteria that you just mentioned, the fact that Jamaica's going to probably have an easier schedule, there won't be all the tournaments, what does Giles have to do? Because, you know, you understand this, playing a full season, a laborious season, him having to be an international and sort of share himself with two teams. What does Giles have to do?
Yeah, what
will Giles need to be accountable for in order to produce over the course of a full season?
That's a very good question. I mean, I think Giles, he's got to be accountable for knowing his body, Glenn, because Giles Barnes, I mean, you know him, but for the people that don't, and obviously having got to work with him at close quarters, I can tell you the type of lad there. Giles Barnes is just desperate to do well for everybody. He's desperate to play well. Giles Barnes would never turn around and say, no, I can't go in that game for you, because he's such a big heart. He's committed. He wants to do well for Houston Dynamo. So that's something, as I say, me and Paul Caffrey have spoken about this, that sometimes we have to look at it and see that as we do, if we think he's fatigued and everything else, then it's something we look at as a club. But he wouldn't be in that situation, Glenn, as bad as it was last year. And he's just desperate to do well. So when there's those kicks and everything else, we have to look and make sure we can get him as close to 100% as possible. And when we do that, I mean, we're going to have a hell of a player in our hands, because, you know, he can be a real match winner at the top end of the field. And that'll be exciting, I think, for everybody. His heart's in the right place. I mean, there's been interest in him because he's a fantastic player. And he said to me, you know, Gaffer, I want to be here. I want to be fresh. And I want to do well for Houston Dynamo. And when you hear that, Jack Glenn, face-to-face with your players, then it's always great. It gives you a warm glow inside, because you know you have somebody totally committed to the Houston Dynamo, and that's the type of player I want.
Yeah. And Giles was so electric in the beginning of the year. Which takes me to Jamie Vardy, and scoring his 11th consecutive Premier League goal in 11 straight games, sets a record in the Premier League, breaks a record from Ruud van Nistelrooy. I think what some people fail to remember is that 5 years ago he was in the fifth tier of soccer in England. And I guess it just shows us that there really is possibility here, and there are players at a lot of different levels that still can be found and discovered and uncovered. And obviously you're over there watching championship games, so there's obviously a lot of talent over there that could be potentials here for the Dynamo.
Well, very much so. I mean, you'll have to look at Giles because, you know, Giles had the bad injuries. He took a step back to take two forward. And Jamie Vardy's a perfect example of it, of how you can progress. So, I mean, in all countries, Glenn, there's always talented young players and players that can continue. Some improve at a later age. The important thing is, you know, recognising that and trying to get them on board. And that's why, you know, as much as I'm here and looking at games in Europe as I'm doing, we're covering every area. We're covering South America, Central America, North America, Spain, you know, England, whatever it is. If we can get the right players, we'll try and bring them to the club. And but the game we're in, Glenn, it's fascinating. I'll give you, I know you love your trivia and your and little tidbits that our game provides, Glenn.
Yep.
So 600, I want to say now, so it'll be 616 days ago, Glenn. 616 days ago, less than 2 years, Leicester City drew one each with Yeovil.
Unbelievable.
In a league game. And last weekend, Leicester City were top of the Premier League and Yeovil Town were bottom of League Two. And yet, less than 2 years ago, they played in a league game and they drew 1-1. And now they're separated by the whole 92 teams. It's incredible.
Yeah, it gives us a lot. We need those moments of possibility, don't we? That a Leicester provides or a Vardy provides, right?
Correct. That's how quickly the game can change. I actually, and while we're on the Jamie Vardy subject, and you'll not mind me telling you this because you always love the goal scorer. So 442 magazine, Glenn, who you know are 442 magazine did a feature on Jamie Vardy last week, and they went through all the great goal scoring runs of strikers throughout the years. Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo, I mean, some unbelievable names. And I'm a little bit embarrassed here, but yours truly was on the list. So
I got to get that issue then.
Well, it was last week, Glenn. They did a feature. If you go on and you
love it, I'm going to find it.
Jamie Vardy, you'll see it. But they did me, my reason for mentioning it is they actually did me a disservice, Glenn, because they've got me down for 12 goals in four games, which is, by anybody's feet, a fantastic record. But at that time, I actually scored 17 goals in 7 league games, Glenn.
Jeez.
So, which was a nice record. So I thought, when I seen all these top players, I was a little bit embarrassed that my record was in amongst them, but there you go.
You know what I love about goal scorers? They don't forget those goals.
No, they don't forget.
They don't.
Really not, Glenn. I mean, I'm not saying
memory.
I played particularly well, but there was thing, it was just one of those purple patches you get. They were hitting me off the backside, but they were going in the back of the net. That was the important thing, Glenn.
Well, listen, you were a goal scorer supreme when you were in Scotland and England, and I don't think there's any question about that. Your record holds, and I think that's obviously a real benefit for anybody that's in the striker position here in Houston, including Will Bruin, because, you've got a goal scorer's mentality, don't you?
Well, absolutely. And to be fair, I'll give them credit. So does Will, Giles, Eric Torres, Mauro Manotas. I mean, so in that department, I mean, we're very, very healthy, as you know. What I want to do is add the pieces that complement those. Because we said before, you know, you can have the best bow in the world, but you need to put the arrows into fire. So that's what we need to do. We need to find the bits to provide the ammunition for the goal scorers to go and get their goals. And that goes back to my earlier one about Will looking to get 50 and 20 and then looking to get even more.
He's Owen Coyle, Dynamo Manager. Last one real quick before I let you go, Owen. I know you've been with your staff involved in running sessions with some of the academy players, and you know you're getting your assistants involved. Everybody's getting involved. I find that very healthy and exciting. I got to think when you guys just walk out there and are around those young players, the eyes get wide open. There's a new sort of sense of connection and possibility. I just got to think it's incredibly healthy. And don't you see one day the Houston Dynamo trotting an 11 out, and there's a couple of local kids in that starting lineup?
Well, for me, listen, I said from day one, Glenn, that's going to be a huge success for me to do that. And I mentioned, I've got to say, James Clarkson works his socks off at the academy. He's such a hard-working, the director of our academy. And you're right, but we love it as well, with me and my staff, because that takes us back to the grassroots, Glenn. But we love being out in the field with coaching young kids. And I would hope, and they are, the young players are responding to that. And what we've also done with the USL initiative, we're finding a path, Glenn, to finding a path through for those young academy players to progress through and play at the BBVA. And what a fantastic achievement that'll be if we get our homegrown players from the Houston area coming in and playing in the BBVA. And they don't have to be. Everybody doesn't have to be a number 10, Glenn. We can have a right back, a left back. And I sat with James at length before just last week before I came back, and I said to James, this is the way we've got. So with James in conjunction with myself, we're certainly implementing a plan throughout the academy that can help the club for years to come, because it'd be remiss of us not to do it. And the important thing is that the young players and the parents in the academy are seeing that, because they've seen myself, they've seen my staff. Matt Jordan's there. Every time we come in, Matt's there, Nick Cober, young Ollie Gage, an analyst. He's every one of my staff. We're on that training ground with the academy once a month. And, I mean, I don't know if other clubs in MLS do it, but I would say certainly the joy that we have had from it, I would encourage everybody to do it. Because the message we're sending out, as we always do, we're all in this together. Our strength at Houston Dynamo is always going to be the group. It's not about the president, it's not about the equipment manager, it's not about the head coach, it's about every one of us, including yourself. I mean, the stuff you do for the Dynamo, it's invaluable. And that's why we're all in together, and that's important moving forward.
You know, and I got to think, in order to remain competitive, it's a necessity that you guys are putting an investment in a lot of ways into the youth game and the academy and developing players.
Well, it's got to be, Glenn, and for very simple reasons. If we're not going to have, and I don't know if this, you know, might change, you know, who's to say what's further down the line, but if we don't, let's just say, for example, we don't have the finance that a Toronto that could go and spend 18, 19 million on three players in a year with Giovinco, Altidore, and Gradley, and that's only their salary. If we're not going to be at that level, then the investments we have to make is in younger players, your young investments coming into the team, and also investing in an academy to develop those homegrown young players that can come through and play in our team. So for me, it makes sense. It takes time. You don't click your fingers and it falls into place, but what we want to do is implement the team, obviously, in our first team that's winning games, and we're improving every other aspect and every other dimension of the club while we continue to win and continue to be competitive in MLS, because that's what we want to do. We all want to win. As I said before, we want to win by being pleasing on the eye.
Owen, as always, thank you very much. We appreciate you taking this phone call. I know it's later there over in England. Continued success over there, watching games and scouting and looking for players, and we look forward to your arrival back here in Houston soon.
It's a pleasure, Glenn. No, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be, as I say, exciting times, looking to get a number of new players coming into the club as well. That'll all fall into place because we're working very hard to accomplish that.
You heard it straight from the mouth of the manager. That's Owen Coyle. Owen, thank you again.
Cheers, Glenn. Take care and God bless.
So we wrapped up hour number one as Owen Coyle finishing up from across the pond in England. Stay with us. Hour number two is coming up. It's the best in soccer talk. It's Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio. 1560 AM.